Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
When Jesus began ministry, the very first thing that Matthew records as he began his ministry, Jesus saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Some places, some versions will say, "The kingdom of heaven has drawn near." And you would well know that the kingdom of heaven is so very different than the kingdoms of this earth. There are so many distinct differences from the kingdom of heaven to the kingdom of earth. Things that are important here on these earthly kingdoms are not necessarily the same things that are important in the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven, the things that the kingdom of heaven really values, sometimes the kingdom of earth doesn't, or the kingdoms of earth don't really pay too much attention to. You would know phrases like, if you want to be great, make sure you network as much as you can. Make sure you posture. And if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you learn to become the servant of all. What do you do with those who persecute you? Get them back. Not the kingdom of heaven. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and pray for those who despitefully use you. It's more blessed to give than to receive. In fact, it's better to give than receive. The influence of people here on the planet, people of stature, people of importance, of sway, may not be so important in the kingdom of God. Just before Matthew 20, and that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at 16 verses in Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 20. Just before that, in Matthew chapter 19, one group and one person, two sets of people, then come to Jesus. They approach Jesus. One is a group of parents with their children, and they're wanting Jesus to bless their kids. And the other, followed immediately by these children, is a rich young ruler. And the story that unfolds, it's exactly the same, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the same order. These children come, parents wanting to bring their kids, and then this rich young ruler comes to Jesus. And I think the disciples were surprised at both of Jesus' response. In both situations, they were surprised at his response. When parents brought their children and wanted Jesus to bless them, the disciples had a fit. Or at least they put up some resistance. Jesus has important people to meet with. Jesus has important things to do. And Jesus interrupted and said, no, let the children come to me. Let the children come unto me. And the children came, that he might lay his hands on them and bless them. Don't we still want that today? For Jesus to lay his hands on our kids, our grandkids, and bless them. You know what the good news is? Jesus still wants to. Jesus still wants to bless the children. Let the little children come. You think this is important. You think this platform or this pulpit or this stage is important. Look what's going on in Sunday school. Let's look what's going on in the nursery. Jesus blessing the kids. The disciples said, hold off. He's got important things, important people. Jesus said, no, let the kids come. And then somebody important comes. The rich young ruler. We don't know all the details of him just from one of the Gospels, but we can piece together from all three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the story unfolds that he is a rich young ruler. And he comes to Jesus. And the disciples, I think they're probably surprised by this. Because as he comes to Jesus, asks some questions about what must I do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus will talk with him. And he'll say, I've done all the stuff. Jesus say, one thing you lack, you need to sell all your things. Give the money to the church. And that's not what he said. He said, give your money to the poor. Jesus, what are you thinking? And then come and follow me. Jesus gives this tremendous invitation to this guy who has a lot of possessions. It says that he had great possessions. The word possession there, it means land, property, and estates. So when we talk about great possessions, it's not just the change in his pocket. Great possessions. When you think about it, if the word, I mean, that's what the word means. If it refers to then land, property, estate, when Jesus said, give it all away, we can look at the guy and think, well, come on, why didn't you just give it away and follow Jesus? What happens if this morning Jesus said to you, would you go ahead and just sell your house? Whatever equity you have in it, give it to the poor? Well, surely it's just allegorical. There's a price to pay. It's very interesting that he did not say to him, take that money and put it into the treasury that we've got a trustworthy man named Judas who's going to look after it for you. So give it to the poor, we'll make sure it gets to them. Jesus told him to give it all up, sell your stuff, come follow me. And I think that's the same call for us. Maybe not to give it all away, but certainly to give it all up. Lord, it's yours. It's yours. Whatever I have is yours. Surrender and obedience. This man, when he met Jesus, he left full of sorrow. That's what the Bible says. Isn't that strange? We just so want people to meet Jesus. And we do. We want people to meet Jesus. If we could just introduce them to Jesus. This man came and met Jesus, and he left not full of joy. He left full of sorrow. His encounter with Jesus left him sadder than he was, because Jesus saw that he didn't have his possessions, but his possessions had him. And he needed to be released from that. He's filled with sorrow. Jesus would then say to the disciples, it's hard. Guys, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. The disciples will say, well, then who can be saved? And Jesus will reply, well, with man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And this is where we're coming to our text this morning. You think, I'm never going to get there. Matthew 19, verse 27. We're headed to chapter 20. Matthew 19, verse 27 says this, then Peter answered and said to him, so we've just seen the little children coming. Now we've seen this rich young ruler walk away. Peter answered and him said, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? It's in this context, saying about the rich young ruler, you need to sell all your stuff, give it to the poor and follow me. And Peter says, hey, we're in. We did it. And then he asks this question, what's in it for us? What's our reward? And so that's the context of this parable that we're walking into. It's an interesting motivation, an interesting question. What was the motivation in that? What's in it for us? Saying to Jesus, we did what that rich guy wouldn't. Oh, we may not have had all the stuff, but we did what you asked him to do. What do we get? What's our reward for following you? Verse 28 of chapter 19, it says, then Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me also will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left, here it is, everyone who has left houses or brothers, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold. And then he says this, and it sounds like almost an afterthought. Oh, and inherit eternal life. Many who are first will be last, and the last first. See, the kingdom of heaven is different. Many who are first will be last, and Jesus will make that statement again. He's going to tie this to that parable, because at the end of the parable, he's going to say that very same statement about the first being the last, and the last being first. It's tied together. He says to the disciples, guys, you're going to be rewarded. In fact, everyone will, but you're worried about family. You can't imagine the family you're going to have. It's a big family. You talk about lands and properties. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. There's an overwhelming amount of what you're getting compared to what you're giving up. But you inherit eternal life. And Jesus is saying, everyone who follows me will inherit eternal life. You have an inheritance, it's a down payment, it's the inheritance now, the fullness is yet to come, but for now, it's time to work. Let's not worry about our rewards and all that, but for now, it's time to work. We're going to watch this on Labor Day, the parable of laboring in the vineyard. Again, the kingdoms of this earth are so different, and the things that we value are so sometimes opposite to the things, kingdom of heaven. There's a story told, maybe you've heard it if you've been in church for a while. It's a story about a man who amassed a lot of wealth, and he just didn't want to part with it. He just didn't want to give it up when he died. Like, can't we take something with us? My dad always said, you've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. can't we take something with us? And he was just crying out and saying, God, can I take some of my money? Can I take some of my wealth? And the story goes, an angel appeared to him. And the angel says, it doesn't work that way. He said, will you just go talk to God and see if at all I can bypass that? There's a loophole, anything. Can I just take something? Angel comes back again and says, you know, God said you can take one suitcase. Okay, so he goes and he loads it up with gold bricks, and he's got them all so beautiful in there, and he closes the suitcase and has it ready for when he dies. And then he dies not too long later. And sure enough, when he gets to heaven, I don't know if Peter's at the pearly gates or not, but at least in the story he is. And Peter's there, and this guy's bringing this heavy suitcase full of gold. And Peter says, you can't come in here with that. He says, no, an angel appeared to me, talked to God, said it's okay. Peter says, well, I got to go check. And so Peter goes, talk to God, come back. Says, I guess you're right. He said you can bring it in, but I have to check it. It's like security at the airport. Just let me see what's in there. And he opens it up and he shows him the gold bars. And you probably already heard the punchline, which is Peter saying, why did you bring pavement? Why of all the things you could have brought, the streets are paved with gold, and the kingdom is just so different, the things that we value so much. Why in the world would you bring pavement? It takes us to Peter asking the question, what's our reward in a society and world that's pretty fixated on gold? Matthew chapter 21 through 16. Let's look at the verses together this morning. God, may you bless the reading of your word. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? And they said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, go, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. Isn't that interesting that they're standing idle all day, but they're still standing in hope waiting? It's been 11 hours, they're still waiting. When evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call all the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. And when they came first, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, These last men have worked only one hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he, the owner, answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? And there's this phrase, or is your eye evil? And the Jews would understand that phrase, and we'll talk about that in a second. He's using a specific phrase, or is your eye evil? Because I am good. So the last will be first, and the first last, for many are called, few are chosen. Jesus is tying this parable into his conversation with Peter. And I think it would be a hard story for Peter to hear. Peter saying, what's in it for me? What's in it for us? And Jesus replying, the same as everyone. The people who were hired first agreed for a denarius a day, which is a good wage. It's a good one day's wage for a laborer, for a worker. But they went from being grateful to be hired to being resentful and unthankful and complaining, thinking somehow the owner had wronged them, that this isn't right, that this isn't fair. And essentially they were saying this, we see now at the end of the day that we deserve more. We see now, after we've put in the work, after we've put in the time, after we've labored, after we've put in the effort, after seeing what's happening in the lives of those around us that you're blessing, we can now see that we deserve more. And Jesus will say, more than you signed up for? See, their expectation changed in working in the vineyard because they looked at what the others got. They looked at what was happening in the lives of other people. Look at what I get. Look at what they got. Look at what I've done. I've worked harder. I've gone further. I've worked longer. And so therefore, the kingdom of this world would say, I get more. Peter says, look what I've given up. We've left it all to follow you, Jesus. What's in it for us? Jesus could have looked at Peter and said, you didn't give up everything to get something. You gave up everything to be with me. You didn't give up everything to get something. You gave up everything to be with me. Follow me. One of the texts I love so much is in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. It's when God was speaking to Abram, who would become Abraham, God is just going to bless and bless and bless. But God says to him, Abram, I am your exceedingly great rewards. I am. It's this relationship you have with me. You can have, if you have all the stuff and miss me, you've missed it. But if you have me, I'll look after all the stuff. I am your exceedingly great reward. There was a gospel singer years ago, one of my favorite singers, Andre Crouch. He wrote this song. If heaven was never promised to me, the words go like this. You may ask me why I serve the Lord. Is it just for heaven's gain? Or to walk those mighty streets of gold and to hear the angels sing? Is it to drink from the fountain that never shall run dry? Or to live forever and ever in that sweet by and by? And then he comes to the chorus, but if heaven was never promised to me, neither God's promise to live eternally, it's been worth just having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness, you came along and brought me the light. If heaven was never promised to me, just having the Lord in my life, it's been worth it. It's been worth it. But not only, I think, was this parable would have been hard for Peter and the disciples to hear as they are following Jesus and about to pay a price. It can be hard for us to hear. Laborers in the vineyard, hired by the owner here on this Labor Day. This would be us, laborers in the vineyard, working here, working for the Lord, working to plant, working to maintain, and especially to bring in the harvest. But it's labor and it's work. Paul will write about pastors, evangelists, prophets, apostles, teachers. He will say to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the work. For the labor of the ministry. Seeds don't plant themselves and the harvest does not self-reap. Grapes in the vineyard, wheat in the field, they do not self-reap. Someone has to do the work. Jesus said this, occupy until I come. He said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And he's called us to be laborers in his vineyard, laborers in the harvest. And so as we do the work, loved ones, I just think we need to keep our eyes on Jesus and not be distracted as we look around. Keep your eyes on Jesus. It's a lesson Peter learned about when he was walking on water. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't be distracted by what you see around us. Keep your eyes on Jesus. See, in this story, the first people, the first laborers, they saw what the owner was doing for others, and that's where they got jealous. And that's actually that phrase where it says, is your eye evil? It has to do, they understood this, it has to do with envy and jealousy. Is your eye evil? Envy and jealousy because of what he's doing. Because I'm good to others. We sing, you're a good, good father. We sing, oh, the goodness of God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It's going to chase me down. But when we look at other people's lives, sometimes it's easy to see God's goodness there in a Snapchat, Instagram world, where we see pictures of what God's doing in people's lives, and somehow, God, don't you see me? It's that phrase, is your eye evil because I'm good? It's different than giving someone the evil eye. It's that sense of my eye is seeing skewed off. I'm seeing the goodness of God in your life, and somehow I'm looking at mine and saying, this is it. We can get a little jaded when we see God blessing others or blessing them differently. And it's so easy to happen. John the Baptist, the one who said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the one who baptized Jesus, saw the dove descending on Jesus, the forerunner of Christ, the one who said, he must increase and I must decrease. That's all great until you start to decrease. And in his prison cell, sends his disciples to Jesus and saying, did I miss it? Are you the one? Because this whole kingdom of God at hand isn't working out so well for me. Here I am in Herod's prison. And we would know the rest of the story, about to get his head chopped off. And Jesus would say, yeah, you tell John, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and blessed is he who's not offended because of me. Just because I'm doing other things in other people's lives, you continue to follow me. You stay the course. You tell John it's happening. It may be happening all around you, but it is happening. He is the Messiah. Jesus, at the conclusion of his ministry after the resurrection, the guys are on the beach having breakfast with Jesus, and he begins to tell Peter, you know, when you were younger, you're pretty free. You could do what you want. You went where you wanted, did what you wanted. But as the days are approaching, they're going to bind your heads. They're going to take you where you don't want to go. Essentially, he's telling him about the death he's going to die. And Peter says, what about John? What's going to happen to him? And Jesus says this confusing statement that people have twisted. What is that? He says, if John remains until I come again, you know, just it's kind of like none of your business. But he says this phrase, what is that to you? You follow me. What is that to you? You follow me. What I'm doing in other people's lives, what is that to you? You follow me. Doesn't matter what's happening in other people's lives. If our eye is evil and we get jealous, we need to come back and remember what we signed up for. We signed up, I will follow you, Jesus. The cross before me, the world behind me, I will follow you, Jesus. I have decided to follow you. No turning back. I'm all in. I've got nothing left. I've given up everything. And I haven't done it for the rewards. I've done it that I might have eternal life with you. I signed up and I'm in. Maybe when we look at our lives, we think, well, I should be ahead of this person, or I should be behind this person, or they're really good, or they're working harder, or I'm not working so hard, I'm working more than them in the kingdom, whatever, all of that. And maybe there's some posturing that could happen according to the kingdoms of this world. But when we compare ourselves to the glory of God, we're all in the same boat. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. It's equal footing at the ground of the cross. We all need a Savior. And so Peter, everyone who signed up gets eternal life. Whether they're the thief on the cross, has just a moment left in this life. It's not because of our works. It's because of his goodness. Because of his mercy. When the prodigal son returned and the dad just celebrated so much, the older son just, he had such a hard time with it all. He says to his dad, you've never done this stuff for me. You've never let me have a party with my friends like this. You've never put the robe on me, the ring on my finger, the sandals on my feet. You've never treated me like you're treating him. And the father says, as it goes out to the son who won't even come into the party, the father says to the son, son, and he uses those words, son, you have been with me always, and all that I have is yours. But he starts with, you have been with me. It's not about the temporal rewards. It's not It's not about that. What do we get? What's in it for me? We get to be a son and daughter of the Most High. We get to be in relationship with our Father. We're adopted into the family. We're translated into the kingdom. Kingdom is different. Easy or hard, regardless of what the rewards are in this life, we get eternal life. And may we be like those who signed up at early in the day. May we be like those who are grateful then, and we don't lose that gratefulness. This Labor Day weekend, may we look around, not at each other, and say who's got it easier and who's got it harder. May we simply be able to look around at each other and say, we're laborers together in the vineyard. We're partners, we're family, we're in this together, following Jesus together. Some have harder goes, some have easier. What matters is we're laborers in his vineyard and we're looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And Jesus would say this, and let me close with two scriptures. One is this, it's in John chapter 6. It says, do not labor for the food that perishes. Let's not keep our eyes on temporal things. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Don't labor for food that perishes. I know we all got to have jobs and we all got to work, but that's not the end goal. We are laboring for the kingdom. We are laboring in his vineyard to see a harvest brought in. And Jesus kept on, the owner kept on hiring and hiring and hiring because the harvest was so great. Because there's still room. There's still more harvest that needs to come in. And if you're here this morning and you think, man, this is a terrible sermon. On Labor Day, isn't this the long weekend? We get Monday off, whatever. Isn't this supposed to be reminded we get to rest? And Labor Day, and all we hear about is working more? It was enough just to get up these stairs. If that's you. And that's real, because sometimes just life is like that. It's hard, and we're tired, and we're exhausted, and we're weary. See, it's good to be tired. It's just not good to be weary. It's good to be tired after you worked hard, after you worked out hard, whatever. It's good to be tired. It's not good to be weary. And so if you're weary here this morning, you said, "That I didn't need that." Maybe you need this. Jesus would say this, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all who are weary. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. As much as we labor in the kingdom, as we labor in the vineyard, we do it out of a sense of strength and hope and rest. We only do what we can do, and we look to Jesus to do what he can do. We partner with him. It's not up to us. We just get to participate in his kingdom and in his plan. Let's go ahead and pray. Jesus, thank you so much that you've invited us to be laborers. Thank you so much that there is a reward, and the reward is you. Like you said to Abram, God, when you said that you are his exceedingly great reward, God, we thank you that you are our reward. God, help us to not look around us at one another, at who's being blessed, and sometimes it just seems like we can be overlooked. God, we just lay that all aside, and we rededicate our lives just saying, we are following you. We want to follow you, Jesus. We're all in. God, for those who are weary and tired, I pray that you would restore our souls by your Spirit, by your grace. Restore our souls as we work for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we've heard such a good message this morning in different ways through communion, through the message that Pastor Barry just spoke to us about. And I know for me, this was a week of sorrows, difficulties. But the Bible says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And you need to know, you online or whoever's here needs to know that God loves you so much and has a plan and a purpose for your life. and He just wants to have a deep relationship with you. And so if somehow you've drifted away, if somehow you have never accepted Jesus into your life and don't have a relationship with Him, then this is your opportunity this morning to do that. Because God loves you and has a plan and purpose for your life, and He came that you might have life and that you would have it more abundantly, but you can't tap into that glorious life until you've accepted Him and given yourself to Him. And it's a big commitment. We heard about it this morning. You give up everything. Just as Peter asked, well, what's my reward? Well, you give up everything, but you're giving up everything to the one who loves you, the one who created the heavens and the earth. No one can love you more than God. And so you can trust Him when you give up everything, because He has nothing but good in mind for you. And we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages, we're talking about wages this morning. We're talking about working, and wages of sin is death. Well, you don't want to work all your life for death. You work all your life and you have nothing. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to give your life to Him, and He wants to do a wonderful work in you and through you. You know, people think that there's many ways to God, but Jesus never told a lie. He never told an untruth. And He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one will come to the Father but by me. So it's only through Jesus Christ, accepting Him into your life, that you will have that eternal life that He promises to us. So I invite you this morning, come to know Him, come into His kingdom, and you'll never regret it. You'll have joy that's just unbelievable because you've accepted Jesus into your life. I'm going to pray this prayer, and if you haven't asked Jesus into your life, I want you to pray that with me. Or if you drifted away and are no longer serving God as you once have, and if you lost that first love, then I want you to pray it as well. Lord Jesus, thank You for loving me so much that You would pay the penalty for my sin by dying on the cross in my place. I believe You rose to life again and now offer me a new life with You. I ask You to forgive me for my sin and cleanse me from the inside out. I invite You into every area of my life as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit and help me to live for You all the days of my life. Thank You for forgiving me, and thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time, tell somebody. Tell somebody that you did that. And even today, if you happen to be here, tell one of us that you prayed that prayer, and we'll help you to grow in your faith with Jesus. And if you're online, contact us at the church, and we would love to walk with you and help you grow in your faith with the Lord.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.